The Drug Enforcement Administration issued a public safety alert this week about a huge influx in fake prescription pills labeled as things like OxyContin and Percocet that contain fentanyl. This is the first warning of this kind the DEA has issued in 6 years. Fentanyl, a drug originally designed for use in hospitals, is an opioid that can be many times stronger than heroin. In recent years, fentanyl has been showing up more and more in illicit drugs in the U.S. Drug users often don't know that they're buying drugs laced with fentanyl, putting them at higher risk of overdose and death. It's a problem across the U.S., including here in Wisconsin. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Have you been touched by this problem? Has this affected someone in your family? If you work in healthcare or law enforcement, have you seen fentanyl showing up in your neck of the woods? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Lieutenant Matthew Ronk is the director of the Brown County Sheriff's Office Drug Task Force. Lieutenant Ronk, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Not a problem.
I know methamphetamine is a big problem in your area. I'll ask you about that in just a moment. But have you seen what the DEA is seeing in your area with this rise in fentanyl-laced illegal drugs?
Oh, absolutely. In 2020, just last year, 33% of the opiates we bought or seized on search warrants were fentanyl. We've seen a complete reverse of that this year in 2021 so far. 67% of the opiates we seize or buy on as strictly fentanyl. And that's incredibly concerning considering how dangerous it is.
Talk about the danger you see for that user who may well not know that they are buying a drug that has fentanyl in it.
Well, that's the biggest problem. So a typical heroin user might use the same amount that they are used to using, and it turns out to have a lethal amount of fentanyl in it. And we seize a fair amount of illicitly made pills that are fentanyl. They don't look like prescription. They look like prescription pills, but they don't look like they're manufactured professionally. Let's say you only need a pill press, but the fentanyl can be from 0.02 grams to 5.1 grams milligrams. Of fentanyl in the pill, and it only takes sometimes 2 milligrams to be lethal in a person. So you could take twice the lethal dose for you in one pill, and the pill right next to it might just get you high.
Now, this is a global problem. Obviously, yes. There's going to have to be some kind of global solutions. That said, in Brown County, how are you tackling this?
With enforcement, in the Brown County Drug Task Force has 18 investigators assigned to it, including 3 supervisors. I would have enough work for 36, especially, 15 years ago, the problems in Brown County were cocaine and crack cocaine. I almost wish for those problems back because the meth and heroin problems that we're having now is incredibly devastating to the community, to families, and it's heartbreaking.
And can you talk about the meth problem you see in your community as well?
Probably 2009, we first started seeing meth in measurable amounts, like a few grams here and there. Last year, because of COVID, our operations were down a little bit. We seized approximately 1,520 grams of methamphetamine. This year so far to date, we've seized over 9,000 grams, so a substantial increase.
With the fentanyl problem, before I let you go, obviously users need a lot of help. They need big solutions. But with this fentanyl risk, what is your message to users as they're on the market looking for drugs?
Well, just buyer beware. I'm only in the enforcement angle of this entire solution. There's a lot of treatment and education that needs to be put out there. So thank you for allowing me the opportunity to talk. But I would just be very wary of what I buy and who I buy it from.
Lieutenant Ronk, thanks a lot for taking the time today. I appreciate it.
Thank you, sir.
Lieutenant Matthew Ronk is a member of the Brown County Sheriff's Office Drug Task Force. He talked to us about fentanyl in Brown County. Now we'll take a look at how fentanyl came to be such a dominant problem in the illegal drug trade. Ben Westhoff is a journalist and the author of Fentanyl, Inc., How Rogue Chemists Are Creating the Deadliest Wave of the Opioid Epidemic. Ben, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
You say that fentanyl is killing more Americans now than any other drug in history, I believe. Can you help us understand the scale of this part of the opioid problem?
Yeah, last year in 2020, exacerbated by the pandemic, drug overdoses accounted for 93,000 deaths, which is by far the most in American history, and the majority of those were spurred by fentanyl.
How did it rise to be such a widespread problem?
Well, fentanyl is a drug that still most people don't want, and so it's not really a user-driven phenomenon. Mm-hmm. It's more of a dealer-driven phenomenon, and it's, again, as was said before, it's about cost savings, and dealers are cutting in fentanyl to heroin, cocaine, meth, and increasingly prescription pills just because it's so much cheaper and it gives so much more bang for the buck.
I want to bring on a caller now at 800-642-1234. Jay is with us in Grant County. Jay, hello.
Hi. I have been a longtime fentanyl user for medical reasons. It was prescribed to me, and I did not know how addictive it was when I was going off one medication for long-term back pain and on to fentanyl. It is a very, very difficult medication to come off of. And with it being put into illegal drugs, you know, those users aren't understanding how addictive it is. And, you know, once or two times, and they're hooked. And I think the question I'd like to ask is, what can be done to keep it out of the public so that it can't be used by illegal dealers? Thank you.
Jay, wow, you gave us a lot to work with there. I want to start, before we get to Jay's question, I mean, Jay got a legal prescription for it, and you studied the early history of this drug, Ben. It had a legitimate and extremely limited intention when it was invented. Can you talk about the original intent of fentanyl?
Absolutely. It was created by a Belgian chemist in the late 50s as a replacement for morphine. And it was and still is a very important medical drug. It's used for, you know, hospital purposes like open heart surgery. It's used in epidurals during childbirth and for colonoscopies for men. It's for cancer patients. It's still very important. But the key difference is that all of the hospital fentanyl is doled out by professionals, by anesthesiologists. People know exactly how much to give out because such a tiny amount in the wrong direction can kill you. The illicit fentanyl that we're talking about comes from a completely different source. You know, it's made in China, it's manufactured by the Mexican cartels and shipped up through the southern border generally. And the drug dealers, the traffickers, these are not trained professionals who know how to mix these drugs properly. And so often, you know, people have no idea what they're getting.
And Jay's question then, how do we get it under control? You mentioned this is made in China. You don't have to grow vast poppy fields to generate this. You can have a lab. It's not a particularly complicated chemical process. And that, it sounds like, Ben, makes it really hard to control this.
Unfortunately, it really is. And that's the million-dollar question, is how do we stop this from getting in? But unfortunately, it's only becoming more difficult, not less. And so when you think about before smuggling heroin, for example, that's a bulky drug. And so it's easier for law enforcement to detect going through the border. But fentanyl, it's only, you know, it's 50 times more powerful than heroin, which means you only need 1/50th as much to be equivalent. And so it's really kind of a needle in a haystack approach. It's not only coming through the border, but being sent through the mail. The U.S. Postal Service, UPS, ordered off the dark web often. And so it can just be a very small package that you would never imagine had drugs in it.
We're talking to Ben Westhoff, journalist, author of the book Fentanyl, Inc., How Rogue Chemists Are Creating the Deadliest Wave of the Opioid Epidemic. New DEA public safety advisory says more fentanyl is showing up, especially in counterfeit drugs, counterfeit prescription drugs. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you want to see harm reduction strategies in place? We'll talk about that. Do you have a story about fentanyl's impact on you or someone in your life? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. We'll continue the conversation. Hear from some more of you coming up on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Barrett. We're picking up our talk now with Ben Westhoff, author of the book Fentanyl Inc. The DEA issued a public safety alert this week about a spike in fake prescription pills containing the synthetic opioid fentanyl. You can join in at 800-642-1234 with your thoughts, your experiences, your questions. Let's go back to your calls now. Evan is with us in Madison. Evan, hello.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
What did you want to tell us about, Evan?
Well, back in 2017, I lost my best friend to an accidental fentanyl overdose. He apparently had ordered what he thought was heroin off the dark web, and there was, I guess, enough fentanyl in there to kill him. I remember hearing that the paramedics tried giving him something like 8 doses of Narcan and weren't able to revive him. I tried to help the police in investigating, figuring out, you know, what happened. And the police department seemed completely not equipped to do anything about it as far as finding out, you know, where it came from or how it happened. And the same with the paramedics. I mean, I guess I just wanted to, and I know that there are, you know, thousands and thousands of other people who've gone through the same thing. I just wanted to share the story and
Evan,
just wonder if there's anything that can, it just seems like there's nothing people can do if it, you know, happens.
Evan, thank you so much. And I'm so sorry for the loss of your friend there. Evan brought up the dark web. His friend had gotten this, what he thought was heroin there. You pursued these threads, Ben. You met people on the dark web, sometimes met them in person. How hard is it if someone buys through this illicit online forum? How difficult is it for like a local police department to have any idea where that came from?
It's almost impossible. The ways to disguise yourself on the dark web and the encrypted messaging is basically foolproof. The dealer has to sort of make a mistake on the clear web in order to be able to trace back to his IP and address and stuff like that. So that I think is sort of the wrong way, the wrong approach anyway. I don't think we're ever going to really be able to stop fentanyl and other drugs from getting into this country. I think we really have to focus on the users. And this is what we talked about with harm reduction, trying to make so they are better educated, first of all, and then using more safely. I can get into that, or you can talk about that if you.
I want to spend our last few minutes on that. I want to bring on another caller, though, before we get into that. Evan, thanks for being willing to share that story. Jason joins us now in Madison. Jason, hi.
How you doing?
Good. What did you want to share with us, Jason?
Well, I was on my way to pick up my son from school. My 17-year-old daughter just kind of came clean with us about a month ago that she's been addicted to Percocet / fentanyl / whatever they put in those pills. And so as a family, we're going through a kind of a detox / hopeful recovery. But she's having too much fun with it, you know, and she's about to be an adult. She makes way too much money as a tipped employee, and she has cash every day, and the cops won't let us duct tape her to anything and hold her down because we can't force, mm-hmm. you know, we can't force any kind of inpatient therapy on her, or even we can't even drug test her without her consent. So this epidemic and the fentanyl and all these different drugs that kids are using, a lot of it is for fun, but then some of it's also for masking mental health issues. That's where we think this started from. I mean, I know that 2 doses of anything, if it's really good, can make you want to keep doing it. But I think worse than that is when you're trying to run away from your own little demons, or you need some help that no one in your family is trained to give you, that drugs seem to be the next best option. So that's what I wanted to contribute. So thank you, guys.
Jason, thanks for sharing that. I got daughters your age. I'm pulling for you. I'm sorry. Ben, can you talk about what might be available for a family in that situation?
Well, that's a very difficult situation he described because, yeah, his daughter is about getting to the age where has her own autonomy and can move out of the house and all that. You know, if and when she's ready, there fortunately are a lot of resources available. And, you know, we're lucky that in the fight against opioids, we have three different medications to fight it: methadone, buprenorphine, and naltrexone. The latter is less discussed, but can be extremely effective because it's an opioid blocker. And so if you take a shot called Vivitrol, you can't get high at all for 25 days. And it's very effective for a lot of people. These sort of detoxing and going away to these retreats, and you might get sober for a month or two, but then the rate of relapse is very high. And so I recommend what's known as medication-assisted treatment. And that's just not giving someone these drugs, but it's also combined with talking with a therapist and really working through exactly the type of issues that the caller was speaking about. Because often if someone can get in the right place with themselves, with their lives, with their jobs, that's the biggest hurdle. It's not even just the drug itself.
Thanks a lot for sharing that story. We're talking to Ben Westhoff, author of the book Fentanyl, Inc., about the rise of fentanyl and more counterfeit prescription drugs and other illegal substances. Ben, let's get into harm reduction now. You share toward the end of your book some stories, a testing strip available, used by rave party culture, to see if fentanyl is showing up in their drugs. Can you talk about that and the potential it has?
Absolutely. The biggest problem, I think, really with the fentanyl epidemic is education, because so many people don't even realize that fentanyl is in your drugs. And so, first of all, you have to start by assuming that any drug that you have, any pill or any powder from the black market, could have fentanyl in it. And so these testing kits, though, are very cheap. I recommend one called the Bunk Police. It's a online company, just B-U-N-K and police. And you dip in these testing strips and a solution with your drugs, you dip in the strip, and it's just like a pregnancy test. It'll give one line if there's fentanyl, two line if there's not. And studies have shown that drug users, if they know there's fentanyl in there, will be less likely to use them. So these drug checking kits are not just for fentanyl, but for all drugs. You know, if you really want to, if you're at a party and someone gives you cocaine or an ecstasy pill, you're really not going to want to take that unless you check it first.
I've also talked to a public health expert, wanted to get your thoughts about this, on the idea of some people who are addicted to opioids maybe supplying them with a low dose of opioids for maybe long periods of time because you know what's in them. You can control the quantity and quality. Maybe they can kick the habit in a year or two, but in the meantime, you massively lower that risk of overdose. What do you think of that idea, Ben?
Are you talking about in a medical
setting? Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, that's called a substitution treatment, and a lot of people have a lot of success with that. And, you know, with something like methadone is the most famous, and, you know, some people are on that the rest of their lives. And, you know, so some people, it sounds like substituting one drug for another, but when it's saving people's lives, that certainly is a benefit.
Are there other harm reduction strategies that you think could make a big difference, given how hard it is to stop the supply of these drugs?
Yeah, one of the previous callers mentioned Narcan, and everyone should have that available to them. If, you know, not just police, not just first responders, but anyone you know who has an opioid issue, you should keep some Narcan on hand. I mean, it's really a miracle drug. It revives people who would die from any opioid, heroin, fentanyl, prescription pills. But, you know, to me, harm reduction just has a lot to do with reducing stigma as well. And the sooner that we start to realize, it doesn't mean you failed as a parent. It doesn't mean that we're failing as a society. It's just this drug abuse can happen to anyone. And the sooner we start treating it like a public health problem instead of, you know, just feeling shame about it, the more success we're going to have.
When it comes to addiction treatment, as you mentioned, there are things that work, that we know that work. Do we have enough of them? Is there enough access to treatment that people can afford?
Well, the good thing is that federal funding is finally really kicking in. And so I discussed before this this opioid blocker called naltrexone, and it normally would cost like $1,000 a shot. But now in a lot of places, you can get it for free. And the same with methadone, buprenorphine. In a lot of cases, fentanyl testing strips are really cheap, if not free. Narcan is often available for lower prices. And so yeah, we're finally getting to a place where these programs are getting the funding that they need.
Ben, we'll leave it there. Thanks a lot for joining us today.
It was my pleasure.
That's Ben Westhoff, journalist, author of the book Fentanyl Inc., How Rogue Chemists Are Creating the Deadliest Wave of the Opioid Epidemic. We talked about fentanyl after a DEA advisory warning people of the presence of the dangerous synthetic opioid in a lot of counterfeit prescription medications turning up on the drug market.